What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 26 of Glitch Therapy. I'm your host, Ramondo Burnside, and with me,
Ben Dupe,
Joel Gao,
Mr. Jose Ochoa.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, man, weird.
Well, it's weird saying your last name.
Yeah.
But people want to know who you are, man.
Yeah. Okay, true. All right.
Not to mention you've been gone for like, what, 3 weeks
three
or something
weeks,
like that?
I've been gone for like a month.
Yeah. Left us high and dry.
Yeah, right. They forgot who
worth
you are.
Worth it, though. Worth it.
Yeah.
How could they forget who you are?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. What's up, guys? We had a week off last week, and then Jose's been gone for 3 weeks. I think this is the first time we've all been together for a while. Joel was gone for a while before that.
Yeah.
And Ben's been jammed with us now going forward, and he's going to be with us.
Full-time member now.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Ah, full-fledged.
Can't get rid of me. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've been courting Ben for a while here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're happy to have him.
I think
Ben.
We forced him in.
Tried to hold his hand. He wouldn't.
We bought me some chocolate-covered strawberries.
I mean, yeah, whatever works.
The treatment, you know.
I got you. We got you.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, you had to seduce him a little bit. It's okay.
It works.
Force ourselves on Ben.
Ramondo's good at seducing.
Oh, okay.
It's very bromantic.
Yeah. I have my moments.
Got that deep voice.
If only I could blush. It's there.
It's Gentlemen. Somewhere in there.
You want some strawberries,
right?
I got some candy.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of strawberries and candy, dude, went to this Iowa State Fair.
Man, I won't even go close to that.
Why
thing.
Not? Yeah,
I avoided it.
It was so good.
Even though it was free to go in.
It was. I had a good time. I didn't want to ride the rides or anything. I just like going around and looking at the different food and stuff in my face and then regretting it all later.
Yeah, regretting it.
No regrets.
Yeah. So many regrets. Yes. Every damn letter, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's not
even. So good, though.
Costs so much money, though, man, is the thing. It's just such an expensive venture. And
yeah.
I don't like dealing with mass amounts of dumbasses in one place. And I feel like that's just the pinnacle of all. You know, not everyone that goes there is a dumbass, but there are certainly a fair share of dumbasses there.
Oh, hell
yeah,
that is
true. I can feel that.
Yeah. So
plus the smell of cow shit and horse shit and all that.
That's only in one area though.
It goes everywhere.
Yeah, it goes everywhere.
It follows you.
I was there just yesterday. It wasn't that bad.
You see traces of freaking.
We were doing a scavenger hunt for work and stuff, and so we had to go over by the sheep and everything and the horses and over that way. Yeah, it was pretty prominent.
Mondo.
But other than that, I mean, it wasn't that bad like everywhere else. You fucking idiot. But yeah, I just wanted to go in and eat food and walk around. And yeah, it wasn't bad.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. I was tired. By the time I got home, like 3 or 4 hours later, I went right down to our bedroom and laid down.
This was last weekend? Or
this was just yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. It was Friday. It was going on last weekend though, right?
Yeah. Today's Saturday. So it's going on today. And then tomorrow's the last day. And if you go tomorrow on the last day, it's like half price to get in.
Okay, cool.
Which means everybody and their mom will be out.
Yeah, yeah.
So by the time you hear this, it'll be over, though. Of course.
Me and some friends tried to go out and do like some raids for Pokemon Go last weekend, and there was normally downtown. It's crazy, you know. Like we'll go downtown and catch a bunch of legendaries and stuff, but there was none. Like no one. Everyone was at the fair, I think. So
there you go.
It's kind of a bummer, you know.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Due to that.
Yeah, I work downtown though, so we got plenty of that. So.
You also bought Pokeballs.
Oh, we're laying in on this early, huh?
Damn,
we're
getting shots fired.
Maybe you saved some money since you weren't able to play.
This is a hard open right
here.
Yeah.
You better dodge that shit.
I'm back.
Matrix.
All right, I'm back.
Why are you coming out firing shots, son?
Yeah.
I'm alive right now, man.
I did, and I will never again. So
Ben, you know what? I'm going to back you on this. It's okay that you did that. I've bought loot chests and fucking Overwatch.
Yeah.
Shut up, Jose.
I've done it too.
I feel like it's the mark of shame to do it for like a mobile game, though. Is like, you know,
that's
the point
play.
Where
that's
like,
that's how they make money.
I did that like for a mobile game, you know, for at least for a console game. You like, I don't know why that's any better, though. I mean, you know,
to each their own.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's okay.
I can't get behind it because I don't like that game. But
you don't play Pokemon Go?
I don't. I think I missed the bus with the Pokemon thing. I give Jose crap about it all the time. I mean, not in a bad way or anything.
I wasn't into it as a kid or anything.
Yeah.
But I am now, just because like people. I feel like if people I work with do it, then that's why I do it. So.
Sure. I think I'd like the app if I downloaded it and got into it, but it's just another thing to distract me from what I'm already being distracted from. Anyway. anyway.
It's tough. It's tough. It's especially hard when you work like you guys work out in the suburbs, you know, but I work in a downtown area, so right. It's super urban, and it's a pretty, you can always be active. Mm. Like, I get like 3 Pokestops just sitting at my desk, you know, so it's like
nice, lucky.
But when I used to work in West Des Moines, that's when I quit playing, is because it's like there's nothing out there.
It's
you
all
know?
Spread apart.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, like, I'm not gonna drive around West Des Moines playing Pokemon Go.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's a no go.
Yeah,
I have
nothing.
No go.
I see what gets Pokemon Go and the word Go.
I have nothing against Pokemon, though. I think I just missed that bus when growing up. Everybody's like, oh, Pokemon cards and the shows and all that stuff. I just never got into it.
Yeah. People in my work get crazy into it, man. It's nuts. It's like my boss texted me a day wanting me to come downtown to do raids with him.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I'm like busy.
Working for you?
Yeah.
I never got into Pokemon Go myself either. Yeah. Although I can understand paying a little, you know, like $1 for something on that, because it's a free game.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't put anything up front down for the game, so.
Yeah, for sure.
And that'll tie into our question later,
too. Yeah, we'll get into that later.
As far as microtransactions and things of that nature, but
mm-hmm.
for sure we're going to dive into that. I mean, it affects a lot of people, and whether you like it or not, it's out there, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys get a chance to check out the Dark Tower recently or anything?
Man,
I enjoyed it for what it was, but I was expecting something more. That's how I will put my headline, the headline for my review.
I enjoyed it.
So you guys saw it. Do you think it's something that I really want to see in the movies or not really?
Usually you and I are pretty close together on stuff that we are critical of and stuff. I think that you would find enjoyment in it, but I think you would find more dissatisfaction with it or indifference. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I wish they'd have done this. That was my only gripe with it, because it's PG-13, by the way.
Yeah.
I thought it was rated R going in. I mean, I was hoping it was going to be rated R going in. I don't think I paid attention or something, maybe. I don't know. But it was fine. It just wasn't as good as I wanted.
Make it a rental.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's worth a rental. It really depends on how long it takes me to watch Defenders and stuff. But I, you know, if I get a little time and I want to go to the movies, I might do it. So we'll see.
If nothing else better is out, why not?
I intended on going, but we went and saw Annabelle instead.
How was that? I want to see that.
My wife and I had some pretty heated debate about it, because she loves those movies. You know, she loves all the Conjuring universe movies, and I feel like every time I go see those movies, I'm watching the same fucking movie every single time. Like, I feel like every time I can't tell you what happened in one of those movies. Like, if you ask me what happened in Conjuring 2 or something, like, I don't remember. You know, there was jump scares and some paranormal shit. And,
it just runs all together for you. Like,
yeah, man. I mean, can you, like, Conjuring 2, can you guys remember what the storyline of that was?
Was that the one where they...
Exactly. Right.
Girl gets possessed.
I didn't even say anything yet.
I'm just fucking around. Sorry.
another possession.
Fuck you guys. This is going to be a rough podcast.
I know.
You guys are like ready to fire. I blame Jose.
Yeah, he started.
He ran all this heat with him from Santa Barbara. This piece of shit over here.
Fuck you. Krypton.
I know, right? Krypton. I agree. I mean, but Abby loves like scary stuff, even though she's a pussy. She's scared about everything, but she loves watching them.
Yeah, and they're not bad movies. Like, I don't think it was a bad movie. Right. I think it was a good movie. I just don't think it's a movie that's needed to be made again like 7 times, you know? I don't think it was, like, I don't know, man, put some werewolves in there, some, like, find some other brand of horror to stick in there, you know, other than just like the basic paranormal hauntings, you know, like put a creative twist on it or something.
Would you, well, I mean, you being a horror buff, would me actually pose a question to you then. Do you feel like the horror genre itself is kind of like that though? Because I mean, a lot of the biggest franchises are just the same stuff, like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, take your pick. It's just more of the same. Nobody really reinvents the wheel with their franchise or anything. It's just a matter of what franchises you like better. You know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they're all the same.
I do tend to feel that way. And, like, Friday the 13th movies, man, after Jason goes to hell, I got I get sick of them. You know, it's just, it really gets old. It's the same thing. You watch some hot chick run away from Jason. Eventually, you see her in the shower getting killed. I mean, it's just the same thing, same tropes over and over. So, I don't know. And the Saw movies are the same. Every Saw movie is exactly the same.
Yeah.
But this new one that they're doing is kind of putting a different twist on it, where it's like a copycat, and they're really focusing on the crime-solving aspect of it. So, it seems like they're taking that and kind of just putting a new twist on it. And I feel like if you do that, like, I'm actually kind of excited for this newer Saw movie.
Okay.
But I just feel like you just need to do something a little bit different. Like, we've been focusing on Annabelle for how long now? Like, years and years.
Yeah, because it was a spinoff from The Conjuring. And one of the, I think in the first Conjuring movie, when they went into, like, their back room of those paranormal couple, whatever, she was in the back in the corner somewhere. And they kind of showed her, they panned the room, and they were like, oh, well, let's pluck this character. And make something out of that.
So it was a creepy doll. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
It's Chucky.
That's cool. Like,
basically.
But there has been an Annabelle movie already before this. Like, this is Annabelle Origin. Yeah. So I feel like instead of doing this, maybe they could have gone back into that room and picked out something else to tell a story about. Like, you've got this whole room full of different shit.
Mm.
And it's like, man, just like make movies picking out stuff out of this room and tell the stories about those items, you know? You don't need to like just focus on one thing every time.
I think they should focus on the couple, on the paranormal couple.
Yeah, man.
And then have them like all their different adventures. Maybe make into a show or something.
Yeah.
Like a Netflix series.
Like an HBO or Netflix. Yeah, yeah, man, that would be awesome.
Have them deal with different paranormal stuff, like Ghostbusters type style.
Yeah,
I could get behind that. Cool. Sure.
Hell
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Scary.
I love scary stuff.
I don't like scary stuff.
What I'm tired of in the horror genre is the, like, you don't see as many of them now, but the found footage stuff. It's like, come on.
Mm. Yeah, I have a hard time with those, too.
Bunch of college kids running around with a camera stuck to their midsection and it's all wobbly and
those are rough.
Jessica, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what, it should be good from what I'm seeing and what people are craving for is that new It movie. I think that's going to be pretty
actually
good retelling.
I have a little bit of news relating to that
hit me with it. You want
to jump into news?
You guys anything else you've been up to you want to get?
Just life Let's go.
Living life, driving life. Riding around.
Never.
I was going to say, check out the Armada book, though, real quick. I've been reading that. That's the second book from Ernest Cline, who wrote Ready Player One. So if you like Ready Player One, Armada is, Ready Player One set such a high bar that Armada is, in my opinion, is not hitting that same bar. But
kind of a letdown from what I've heard compared to the other.
Yeah, if you're going to compare it to like that, the original, just like any other sequel, it's going to be, you know, and it's not a direct sequel either. It's a separate story, different thing. But it's pretty good. I'm reading it right now. I'm probably about a good third through it.
That's cool.
I'm enjoying it. A lot of the same kind of pop culture references and things of that nature. Yeah, if you liked Ready Player One, check it out. I mean, what do you have to lose? It's a pretty decent read.
Hell yeah, man. So, I'll get into it.
Yeah. Otherwise, should we do some news? Yes, it's time for some news, people. We're approaching the fall. It's starting to be like... It's like DEFCON 5 or something, man. Everything's starting to drop. Shows, games, everything. There's always something hitting the airwaves or hitting something on TV, or you're seeing an ad on online. I don't know.
It's good times for games coming up.
True story.
I'm just so flustered. There's so much stuff to talk about. My lips don't want to work right.
We've all been there, man. We've all been there.
Oh, man, you're weird.
I mean, I won't argue with that.
Yeah, you're just weird.
Well, you were saying you had something for us.
So my news, man, I'm going to be the one that brings like the weird fucking news to the table. Maybe sometimes doesn't even have anything to do with gaming, or might delve into it a little bit, but it's not going to be like hard DLC releases and stuff. I'm just gonna bring this weird shit to the table and see if it starts anything. So
give it to us.
So first thing I got, Stephen King's It is getting a throwback video game. And it's actually not so it's not really like a console game or a PC game. This is actually just it's like a internet based game where you can get on and play it. And I'm gonna show you guys really quick right here. So it's kind of like an 8-bit thing, where you can like you're controlling this boat or whatever.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of something little fun or whatever.
That's pretty cool.
What is that going to be on? Like, is that mobile or
no? This is just on the internet. It's like a little 8-bit game they put out on the internet just to promote the movie, I think, or whatever. But I'll link it for people in the show notes so they can click on it and get to the game. But it's something to do while you're pretending to work at the office, so you know, or trying to distract yourself from something, you know.
That's something I'll be doing at work.
Right. Yeah,
there you go.
It's kind of fun, you know. It's nothing huge or whatever. So that was fun. I messed around with that for a little bit. So last time we were on the show, we talked a little bit about like someone trying to teach suburban kids with Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. There's a new article out that said there's a video game that actually helps you with your calculus study habits. So you guys, like, you have kids. You two have kids. Did either of your kids take calculus or? Have they? Yeah.
Yeah, she's not taking that yet, but I'm sure she'll be getting in that.
Okay, so there's a new game called Variant. Have you ever heard of that? Or it may not be necessarily super new.
I heard of it.
Variant.
Yeah, you play as a character called Equa, which is a young man, a young woman who has no memories, stuck on a planet that's at risk of being destroyed by a cataclysmic solar storm. The Manthan people who inhabited the planet have evacuated, but with the help of an entity named Cleary, you set out to save the planet. You progress through the levels by solving puzzles in order to reach your destination and hopefully save the world. And to solve these puzzles, you need, like, calculus. So I guess, like, this is another tool that, like, sort of people have been using as an educational tool to teach kids or whatever, or to help them with their study habits.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I started to dive a little bit more into video games and how they affect the brain and stuff like that. You know, there's always the debate of, like, are video games good for your brain or are they bad for your brain or whatever? And there's actually been some studies that show that, like, games like Call of Duty or really low-impact first-person shooter games are not good for your brain. Like, they actually get rid of gray matter in your brain and in the hippocampus, where games like Mario, where you're, like, 3D platform games, where you're kind of floating around platforms and figuring out how to get around an open world or whatever,
undercover puzzle stuff.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, they increase gray matter in your hippocampus, in your brain. So so it's interesting. Like, first person shooters typically aren't as good because I think the thought process there is it's really just fast-paced. You're not using any type of, like, long-term memory or puzzle-solving skills. You're just basically aiming and shooting. But, like, games like Mario Odyssey or stuff like that.
Tomb Raider?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Open world or linear games where you're having to use your short-term memory to remember, like, where you were without using a map or sometimes, you know, stuff like that has... So
we should dive more into that sometime as a full on topic, you know.
Yeah,
I think that'd be fun to explore that.
There's tons of research. We really could do, like, a whole show on it because there's psychiatrists and psychologists who have done whole theses on this shit and, like, talked about the effects on brains and stuff. So
see, and more games are getting into that stuff. I mean, one of our topics for later, Hellblade, deals with, you know, the psychological nature of and of, like, you know, the mind breaking down and you know, hearing voices and seeing things and all that stuff. So that'll be fun to tie that to that later when we talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple other things. Mewtwo and Pokemon Go, we talked about that earlier, but Mewtwo came to Japan and it's coming to America soon. So
Pokemon Go?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to start playing now.
So the four legendary birds that you can get right now are Articuno, Moltres, Zapdos, and Lugia, and they're available till August 31st. And then a lot of people are saying they think Mewtwo is going to come around September 1st. So that'll be cool, I guess. I don't know. It's just another thing for you to catch or whatever on your lunch break. So
yeah.
Next piece of news I have, this isn't really super related to gaming, but I have a question to pose to you guys. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Is it a false burrito?
I'm just seriously, like, is a
would you just compound in the question?
would you consider a hot dog to be a sandwich?
No. No. I would say if I had to give an initial answer, no.
And why not?
Because it's not.
I mean, but it's like it's meat between two pieces.
I say
bread.
Yes. True.
I guess if we're gonna break it down like that to its most simplest form of saying it's meat between bread, sure. But we had this debate with somebody else. I can't remember who it was or who how it went down, but they were like, you know, what's a hamburger then? Why is a hamburger different than a sandwich? Then different like a regular sandwich? Like what is, you know what I mean? It was something like that about different meats.
Well, you have to cook. I think you have to cook the burger. You have to cook the hot dog. It won't be as tasty if it's raw. You know,
yeah. Because I mean, you could
no. I've had a raw hot dog. It's not as
good. if you lay the hot dog down like sideways, it turns into like a sub.
But there are sandwiches you have to cook too, like paninis and stuff like that. So
that way you wouldn't call a panini like a hamburger or.
Well, no, but I mean, like, I feel like a hamburger and a hot dog is a subsection of a sandwich. Like, that's a different kind of sandwich.
Yeah. It's false meat.
False meat.
Depends on where you go for it.
Yeah. So Nintendo took a stance on this, I guess. There was like some subreddit interview where Koizumi, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yoshaki Koizumi, which is the Super Mario Odyssey producer, he made a pretty blatant statement that like no hot dogs are not sandwiches, and this started like a whole debate within the Nintendo community.
That's
about
hilarious.
It. Like it became this huge thing with Nintendo on Reddit.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's funny. And to go back to it too, it's like okay, now that I'm thinking about it too, it's like well, a burger is a burger because you're using hamburger meat.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the whole point of it.
And a hot dog is just a hot dog.
You're overthinking this.
Well, that's the whole point. It's fun to overthink stuff sometimes, especially stuff that doesn't matter. I mean, we're gonna leave the podcast and be like, "Who gives a shit?" But deep down inside, I'm gonna say, "Fuck those hot dogs."
It was like that one time you told me about the Mass Effect Andromeda.
Okay.
When I was having trouble with the light years and the distance.
Yeah, yeah. You were like trying to break it down at work one day. He's like, "Well, I don't understand how like they left and then they left later and it was 600 light years and it's this." And I was like, "Jose, who gives a shit?
It's just a game. Don't overthink it
anyway. It's just food, guys. Eat it."
Yeah, that's true.
So,
it's fun to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, though. Yeah, it is interesting. There was a competitive eater. You know, these guys eat like hundreds of hot dogs for contests.
Kobayashi,
sort of.
Dude.
Yeah, it is Kobayashi.
He crushes.
Takeru Kobayashi, and he was asked, "Is a hot dog a sandwich?" And he says, "No, no. You have to have a lot of respect for hot dogs. It's completely different. First of all, the hot dog is American, and sandwiches are not American. They're different. Second of all, a hot dog is like a pop idol. Hot dogs are cute. It's a pop image. Everyone knows what a hot dog is." So he's defining it by like, this is like a pop icon that's like sets itself apart from sandwiches.
He's biased. I mean, he's smashed like
this guy eats
like
a lot of hot dogs.
A million hot dogs over the course of his life, man. Like he's probably won the hot dog eating contests and what's the big one that they have every year in America? I forget the brand. It's really popular. But anyway, he's won these huge contests for like the last like 6-7 years. Nobody's beat him. I think maybe even longer. I don't know. I can't remember.
But that's crazy.
Nobody can beat him.
He's a small guy too, right?
Yeah, he just miles. Like pull up a video when you're done listening to us or maybe during. I don't know.
I'll link something in the show notes.
The dude smashes stuff. I don't even think he tastes the food he puts in his mouth. He eats it so fast.
I don't think he even bites it.
Does he? I think he's the guy that takes the bun off too, and he dips the bun in water.
And
he eats the hot dog, and he dips the bun in water, and he just smashes it. It's like he just puts it right down his throat. I don't see how he doesn't choke.
You can make a lot of money. Yeah, that's
he's
what she
pro.
Said. So you can make a lot of money at... Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
I didn't even hear it. What'd you say?
I said that's what she said. Sorry.
All right.
So... So the last piece of news I have, and it's not really related to games at all, but it's potentially game changing for me. There's a co-founder from Netflix that is coming up with like a movie pass that's going to be a national thing where you can pay $10 a month to see unlimited movies. You can see one every 24 hours. And you pay $10 a month. So for someone like Ariel and me, where we go to 3 or 4 movies a month, that makes sense, you know, and I feel like $10 a month to go to however many movies we want, I'll do it. Yeah.
I heard a thing, though, because my buddy J-Ray and I were talking about it. He brought it to my attention a couple of days ago. He's like, "We should do this," and I think he already signed up for it or tried to. But then he read something that was saying, like, some of the movie theaters in our area, like the AMC theaters, are trying to back out of it and or rewrite, like, how they're going to be included in it, because I guess they have an issue with some of the fine print, if you will.
So a lot of it is like you can't go to 3D movies,
right?
And I think it affects your ability to buy tickets in advance. So, like, if I want to go to a premiere of something on those Thursday night premieres, it's not going to happen if they're sold out because you can't buy the tickets in advance. Mm-hmm. Also, if you go to a movie at, like, 8 o'clock at night, then you want to go to a matinee the next day, it's not going to happen. You have to wait till 8 p.m. the next day to go to another movie. So, I mean,
there's a lot of stipulation to it and caveats.
There'll probably be movies that are coming out on video, like, in a week. You can watch that now.
Yeah. Well, I think you can watch any movie. It's just you can't see them in 3D and stuff. So I don't know.
I think it's still worth it.
How they're going to make their money on this is like five-person families that'll buy it and they won't go more than once a month, you know? And then they'll be making their money off those families, whereas like people like me and Ariel will probably be getting a pretty good bargain.
Oh, they'll be mad at me because I go probably several times a month. J-Ray and I, we go pretty regularly.
You know,
he just texts me up like, hey, you want to go see such and such on, you know, tomorrow? I'm like, count me in. We're done, you know? So they won't like me.
Yeah.
I'm there all the time.
There's, for every one you, though, there are several families that hardly ever go. So
And they will buy the thing. Just like they buy those bargain, you know, popcorn bins at the theater and they never use them. You know, it's like, or they throw them away and forget about them. You know, I mean, they make their money on people like that. Whereas we'll be getting a bargain, though. So I hope it comes through. More news on it when it follows or whatever. It's still in talks right now.
Yeah, keep me up on it, too. I mean, if I run across anything, I'll throw it at you as well.
Yeah, for sure. Please do. So that's all I got for news.
I got a couple things. Speaking of it being a little video game, they're actually coming out with a It VR experience.
I know.
Oh, yes. Shit, really?
What?
It's going to be so creepy.
I don't know much about it, but I know that Frank VR on YouTube talked about it. He does a lot of the PSVR coverage.
So is it going to be like a game or just an experience?
I think there might be a little game to it, but I haven't really had a chance to really look into it too much.
It seemed like more of a nugget of a game, so not like a full-on game you're going to play, but like typically with those experiences, it might last like anywhere from, I don't know, 20 minutes to an hour or two sometimes. And then a lot of it's just like you're on rails sometimes, or they control what you're doing. And it could be a very small thing, kind of like how PT was.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe lasted like what, to play the whole thing, like an hour or so?
Sure.
Like that. So,
Well, I think it's going to be free, so it's more of an advertising.
There you go.
Even better. Yeah.
So it's not going to be long. Game, cool. I'm sure, or whatever it'll be.
Keep your eye on it.
Yeah. The other thing is there's been an update to No Man's Sky. So for those that haven't played it in a while, apparently it's now a full game, finally a year later.
So is this worth it, you think, for me to buy it?
I don't know.
That depends. I had that part as something I was going to bring up too, and I have it downloading right now. I'm going to play it some more. I'm going to play it when I get home later. But from the notes that I've looked at, from video that I've seen, it looks to be the thing you'd want to go after at this point. If you never got into it and you're looking to try it out, now is the time to do it.
Now is the time.
Is there any combat in it?
Mm, a little bit.
Some air, like some space, like dogfights.
Okay.
There are also drones on the planet that attack you.
That attack you once
in a while. You get guns and stuff, or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You do? Okay.
Nothing crazy like you're thinking in other games where you get like different types of ammo and different things like that. It's pretty straightforward for the most part. I mean,
you do have like kind of like a grenade launcher, or you can change it out for different things. I mean, you can upgrade your weapons to do different things. So
yeah.
And then you're like sort of making different camps and sort of collecting things and stuff like that, right?
The game's focus is less on the combat of it. The combat's more of a side dish where the main course is like exploration.
Yeah.
They want you to go to different planets, and different planets will have different life forms, and some planets will have different, you know, foliage and... Yeah,
and they have grass now.
Yeah. I was looking at that. Yeah, like before it was that they were pretty plain planets, and some of them were really repetitive in some ways. Like you're thinking this is generated every time you go to new ones, they're gonna just randomly have all this different stuff, randomly have different you know, plants and animals and stuff there. And some of it got to be a little repetitive, especially like the buildings you come across. And
true.
It wasn't very fun in the beginning, but if you have not touched it and you're not jaded on it like some of us. Now, if you want to try it out, now's the time.
I mean, I do have preconceived notions just because of how much shit talking I've heard about. Like, everyone says something negative about that game. You know, no one's got anything nice to say about it.
Yeah, they had so much. They too much practically hype. Lied to us, saying that there was going to be all these things, and then the game came out, and it wasn't anything like they were promising. So that was the
one thing that is pretty impressive about it, though, is it was a 5-person team that made the game. So it's like 5 people made this thing.
It took them like how long to do it? Like 8, 9 years?
Yeah, they were on it for a while, and I guess they produced it and developed it themselves. So they weren't, they weren't like backed by Sony. Sony helped with the hype train, but that was kind of it.
Which I think is what killed them, is that there was too much hype behind it, and then they didn't temper that hype either. It was kind of like when someone's like, man, Joel's the best basketball player ever played, and Joel never goes, well, guys, I don't play that much. I'm okay. They never did that kind of thing where they kind of pumped the brakes on it. They were kind of like, yeah, bask in the glory. They're loving this. And then
I can see. Like,
now you got to play somebody, and now you look like shit.
I can understand the want to like spread the hype for your upcoming game, but at the same time, it's like, it's probably a pretty valuable lesson learned there of like,
let's
pump the brakes a little bit, not set the bar too high here. Like,
Or just shut the hell up and just wait for your shit to come out and let people just let the proof be in the pudding.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Don't brag to me about it. Just let me taste it.
There's supposedly a story.
It's weird.
It's pudding. I don't even like pudding, though, to be honest with you.
Then what?
Shut up.
There's supposed to be a story now.
Yeah, and that's good, too.
Yeah, because there really wasn't a story at all before.
There's like a main storyline or whatever?
Yeah, it was like reach the center of the galaxy and then boom, do it all over again. No thanks. But now it's got a more of a story and some stuff going on, so it makes you feel more motivated to continue to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it'd be worth it for them to try and do a sequel of that game and fix some of the stuff that...
I don't know.
I think so, but I think the hurdle that they'll have to get over is just the backlash of this game. So I think that they do make a second one, put all the stuff in there that you want to put in before you release the damn thing. If you're going to release information about it and kind of give some hype going on it, then keep that tempered and just shut the fuck up and make your game.
It really wouldn't be the first game in the world to have a sequel or even a third or fourth part that finally did get, like Far Cry 1 and 2, they sucked. I personally didn't enjoy them.
Three was awesome.
Yeah, 3 was awesome. 4 was awesome.
I'd say
four is where they hit their stride. I feel like that's where it got really good.
I'd say the best example of somebody who can bouncing back or something like that was the one where they're hacking everything.
Oh yeah, Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs 1 sucked because it should have been what Watch Dogs 2 was. So they had the same exact situation where they talked about something, the hype got going, they promised all these things and showed stuff in a way that made you believe like, oh, this is gonna be like this thing over here.
But it was so empty, there were so few things you could do.
And by the time it came out and was released, people were really let down by it, and the protagonist in the game was just like a wet blanket with personality.
Kind of like Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah. So when the second one came out, they blew... When the second game came out, it blew the first one out of the water. It was
absolutely. So but that's been kind of their track record. It's like every time they have a first game, Assassin's Creed 1.
What about Fallout?
2, awesome.
Yeah. Fallout 1 was a PC game. It was a whole different beast.
Both of those were awesome.
Yeah.
Were they? I heard there were a lot of problems with the first parts.
They were good, and a lot of people loved that game from the first one.
They were isometric role-playing games, top-down.
But the later ones went, like, they blew them out into, like, full open-world type situations.
Well, yeah,
so they're slightly different.
Fallout 4 was the most recent one, right? Yeah. And that one was, like, some next-level, like, people were freaking out about it.
I couldn't get into that.
No? What didn't you like about it? Like, just out of curiosity.
It was just too much thrown into.
Like too overwhelming?
Yeah, it was too overwhelming.
It was like Skyrim.
Like, now you're alone. Build a fort. And I was like, that's too quick. I can't handle this. So I had like 10 minutes in, I was like, eject.
Build the fort, man. Just build the fort.
Build the fort.
I didn't take to that part of it either. Like, I know, like, our friend Nick. Nick was like, oh, I'm going to rebuild this castle area or whatever it was, and I'm going to make it
With all the crabs and stuff.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't really care. I just want them to get out of it and move on with the story part.
Yeah.
I didn't care about that stuff. You know,
I didn't get super into the building forts and stuff and houses and stuff. I got really into the just main story and side quest. I played it like you would play a Batman Arkham game. I walked through the main story, did some side quests, and eventually got bored because I never got to the end. So
I need to finish it too. So
yeah,
no worries.
I'm at the end.
Right.
I think the last mission or second to last mission.
Yeah.
I've been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else?
For news? No. Well, no, that's it for me.
Cool.
All right. Cool.
Nope.
No, nothing really. I'm Jason Mantzoukas. I got nothing.
No, I'm still trying to come back.
Right.
From everything. So
he's still in California.
Yeah. I technically am. I still can't wake up in time, or I'm still passing out, so I can't do anything right now.
Right. Yeah. No, nothing wrong with that.
That'll happen.
One thing I was going to bring up is that Valve has announced a new game at the International Dota 2 tournament. And unfortunately, everybody got excited. Like, Valve is making something, you know, because...
Left 4 Dead 3.
Their pedigree is Half-Life 3, you know. Oh, everybody wants them to make Half-Life 3.
Right.
Everybody wants them to make Left 4 Dead 3.
And dude, I would love that.
And they also want Portal 3. Portal. But, so apparently, Valve gets stuck on 3s because none of their 3s have come out.
Yeah.
And there's no talks about it. So when they brought this up, everyone got excited. And then they announced that it's going to be a fucking card game. And everybody was like,
come on.
A card game?
A card game. Like a
Gwent. Oh,
that's so loud.
Sorry.
Like Gwent or something like that. And so nobody wants a card game. They want fucking Half-Life 3. They want Left 4 Dead 3.
Give people what they're asking for,
Portal
please.
Portal 3. And so there was a lot of discussion online and then on forums that people, you know, wanted this. And the argument was that that Valve wants to make that stuff. This is rumor. But... The bar is set so high that they don't want to attempt to make a game like that and then not hit the mark, and everyone's disappointed. They'd rather just leave it the fuck alone and let
it
be what it was.
How hard is it to make Left 4 Dead, though, man? Seriously?
That would be amazing.
Like, that I heard they were working on.
I don't get how fucking hard that is. Like, it's such a simple concept for a game that... Just figure out some like weapons for people to use, and you literally—it's just walking around shooting zombies, going through a story. I don't know. To me, that just seems like the easiest thing to execute.
It was so much fun too.
It was. Yeah. It really was.
Great co-op.
It doesn't have to be graphically a graphical powerhouse either. Just make it look good enough, and then make it fun. Like how many games have you played where the graphics weren't the greatest, but it was fucking fun? So
tons.
You kept coming back.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean? Like I don't care about that all the time. I have other games for that.
Yeah.
So, but everybody was disappointed was what I was getting at, because they're making a card game that's going to come out next year. So people were pissed about that.
I typed in a Google Valve card game, and there's just like anger everywhere. Yeah. Like everyone is pissed off.
They're so salty about it. Yeah, the game's going to be called, what's it?
Artifact.
Artifact, yeah. And then they released a teaser trailer at the International Dota 2 tournament, which I think is just wrapping up or just wrapped up. But
the disappointment.
I'm disappointed, but it is what it is. I knew they weren't going to make a Half-Life because they've been saying no.
I've never played Half-Life before.
Half-Life 2, the orange box, was an amazing compilation.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. And they gave you Portal 1 in there. I think it was Portal 1, wasn't it?
Portal 2.
Portal 2 came out
separately. Wasn't it Portal? It was Portal 1. It was Portal 1.
It was like a little spinoff thing you could play, and that blew up into its own whole thing. So.
And Team Fortress, I think, was part of it.
Team Fortress was in there, too. So, yeah, check it out. I mean, it's a good game.
Console?
Yep.
Or PC. It's on both.
Yeah, it's on both of them. The other thing, too, speaking of consoles, please be aware of spam bots out there right now. Xbox Live and PlayStation Network are being hit with a lot of people that are spamming players. So basically what you'll pop on your Xbox or PlayStation, you'll have messages in there sometimes.
Just hey, Hunter, are you there?
From random people like, what are you doing? And there'll be like a bunch of question marks. Like one of your buddies is messaging you, but it's somebody that you don't know.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, what's going on? Just like super, just out of the nowhere questions or comments to you. And you're like, who's this?
Yeah.
And initially it was like people, they were... like you could tell it was like somebody like really weird because they didn't have a player picture and their name was like a really weird name.
No trophies, no.
Yeah, nothing. So you're like, this is weird off the
no
bat.
No gamer score.
But now they're getting more intuitive to the point where they're actually like making it look like legit gamers and putting their own pictures on them and stuff and everything. And so what they're trying to do is spam you and get you to give them information.
What are they trying to, I guess, are there people out there who will give them like credit card number and stuff?
I mean, I don't know if it's quite that deep. I know.
Well, if they get to know enough about you, they might be able to get your identity somewhere online.
Yeah, so. Like I had one of them got me going just enough because I was like, it came on and it was like, hola. And I was like, I was like, hola? Question mark. Like, okay, who's this? Well, like, who's reaching out to me? And since we have this show and stuff like that, you never know. Somebody might reach out and want to play with you sometimes. So I kept an open mind for a second.
Right.
And then the person was like, my friend and I were bored and we're sitting here and they dared me to message a stranger and get a conversation going. What are you up to? And I was like, oh, okay. No worries. And I left it at that. Didn't say anything else. Then they were like, ASL, which is age, state, location. Or no, age, sex, and location.
Okay.
And then she's like, the person was like, I'm a 22-year-old female. How old are you? And I was like,
pass.
Conversations don't start like this. Maybe like 2000, back when the internet was first going, and we'd all hang out in our fucking Yahoo chat or something.
Yeah,
but
this
is not.
this isn't Tinder.
This is not a real thing.
Well, back in the day, like Yahoo chat, that's how they all started. You ASL, ASL, you know.
Yeah.
But I was like, nope, delete. So so make sure you're reporting these if you get them and deleting the conversation thread. So
block them.
Yep. Started getting really rampant about a couple weeks ago to a month ago. So if you're starting to get those, be aware of them.
I got a couple of them.
Info, so, yep. Delete them.
Hey, sweetie. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw your name on the Xbox app, and I just wanted some people to talk to.
Right.
And I was like,
DTF?
Well, at first she said something, or it said something. I was like, hello, who is this? Do I know you?
Right.
I'm like, oh, I saw your name on the Xbox app, and I'm like, blocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then the last thing real quick, and we can tie this into the question if you want to do that real fast, but Shadow of War is going to be including microtransactions, which is like, I think it's a terrible idea. A lot of people are in agreement with that sentiment. They're going to basically have loot chests that will have gear, weapons, and armor of varying rarity that will boost stats and things of that nature for the single-player campaign. It'll also have war chests, which will give you things like orc followers of varying rarity as well, and then you can boost their stats of those followers. And then also like XP boosts, bundles, etc. What this basically ties into or comes down to is that you're going to be paying. Some people will pay to level up in the game faster than the normal game would be allowing you to do.
Yeah. It's pretty much you're paying cheating to pass the game.
You're paying to beat the game quicker or to beat it in style, more or less. And it's like,
I don't know.
It's frustrating.
I don't like that. You're paying $60 for the game.
I feel like there's two levels of this, right? Like, I feel like there's a first level where you can, there's a pay to play where you can actually pay to level through the game faster, and it will actually enable you to beat the game faster. I don't necessarily like that because I feel like then at any point, anyone who's beaten this game, it's just like bullshit. Like, okay, you paid for it. But like in Pokemon Go, for instance, like you pay, right? But you aren't going to get through the game any faster doing that. Like you're going to get more Pokeballs, but that just makes it so you don't have to walk around more, you know? You're not going to actually catch more. Like you can't buy Pokemon or whatever. So,
But it's a free game. This one's 60.
Right.
You're paying out of the pocket $60. You shouldn't be paying for transactions. Well, we're going to get into this later.
Well, I mean, we can get into it now if you want. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. The question I had for you guys later on was just that. It's like, how do you guys feel about microtransactions in video games in general? Like, do you guys like that? Is there ever a situation where it's okay to you, or do you feel like it's kind of a dirty thing, a dirty practice by, you know, developers and publishers? To gain more money from people that are just going to just keep tossing money at them. I mean, how do you feel about it?
I think it's okay with Overwatch because you're actually paying for future DLC because they're continuously adding new characters and new levels. So you don't have to pay for the new levels yourself. Like normally you would be paying for this stuff.
Mm.
Like in Call of Duty, a new map pack comes out, you got to pay for it. You know, things like that. But in here, you're also just paying for skins. So it's only cosmetic. It doesn't affect anything.
Right.
And I like that.
Yeah. And well, it's different though too. I mean, I don't want Call of Duty to get a bad rap because paying for map packs, I'm not a big Call of Duty guy, but I enjoy map packs from time to time.
Yeah.
And I don't really consider that to necessarily be a microtransaction. That's more of a DLC.
No, and I agree with that.
That's more of a DLC situation. I'm talking about like the things in there where it's like for instance, one of the games that did it and everybody got really mad was like, the space one. What is it? God dang it.
Dead Space.
Thank you. I was going to say Deep Space. But Dead Space 3 had it where you'd need parts to upgrade your suit and things like that.
Yeah.
But you couldn't find them, and so they had like little stations where you could pay real money to get the parts you needed to upgrade your fucking suit to get to progress in the game.
Almost becomes a paywall.
Better.
And that's a bad model.
Yeah, so that kind of thing is what I'm against. If I'm going to be start hitting an area where things are going to get really tough and I need certain parts or abilities to get through this area and then you don't make those prevalent to me or make them available to me where I can go and find them easily or within reason, And then you put this thing on the wall like, hey, you know, you're frustrated. Check this out. You can buy all these parts for 20, you know, 10 bucks and you get some extra bolts and whatever.
Yeah, that's, the case that's not cool. It's not cool.
That's lame.
Yeah, I think that's a setup for people.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, it doesn't really matter how I feel about microtransactions because businesses are out to make a buck and true. They're going to do it whether consumers like it or not. And there's always going to be those consumers that pay for it. Mm-hmm. I think, like, the point where it really pisses me off, though, is where it's like Zelda, Breath of the Wild. I've heard people talk about, you know, DLC where you get an entire portion of the map that wasn't on this game and there's mm-hmm. a portion of the main story. It's like, fucking, that's not cool, man. Like, if I buy a game, just charge me how much the game costs and give me the entire map. Like, yeah, don't make me pay for, like, an extra 20 or 40 bucks for an eighth of this game. You know, I bought the game. I should get access to the full game. It's the same way with Injustice and characters. Like, just charge me for all the characters. I don't want to deal with, you know, I'm not going to pay $40 extra just to get, all these extra characters. And you're making me, like, fight people online who have access to different characters. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just frustrating.
But then you dive, well, by bringing that up, you're diving into a whole separate thing, too, where that ties into the microtransaction thing, which is that people have been complaining about for, like the last 5 to 8 years or something like that, where developers will pluck out a chunk of a game. So a game is fully 100% done. They'll take 20% of it and just set it aside for later. And basically, like you're saying, it's like characters. It could be a full level,
yeah.
You know, or whatever. Yeah. They'll just pluck it out of the game, and then they'll just like, we're going to sell this to them as DLC and make a shit ton of money off of this.
Yeah, that's not okay.
They want to understand where this part of the story was. And so then you're going to download it because you're like, well, I beat the game. Oh, this is like a prequel little section, or this is a flashback section.
It kind of ruins the game as well.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you feel cheated.
You will never catch me paying for that shit. Like, if I need to talk about it on a show, I'll watch gameplay from someone else who paid for it. But I'm just not going to be a part of that. Like, it's just, I don't know. Paying for skins, that's one thing. Paying for Pokeballs, that's like one thing, I guess, on a mobile game. But when you get into like just nabbing a chunk of the game out and trying to resell something to me that I paid for months ago, like, no, I'm not doing that.
They're basically
making
money twice is what they're going to do. Because like if a shit ton of people bought the game for $60 and then now they're going to sell the DLC to them for $40, they're making hand over, you know, money hand over fist. So I don't know, that kind of stuff is a little dirty too.
Well, Azura's Wrath. Have you ever heard of that game?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It came out and they cut the ending off, and you had to pay $10 for the ending.
Yeah,
so there was no ending, and it was a $60 game. You had to pay another $10 to get the actual ending. They called it the true ending. Thank you, Capcom. They've actually gotten a little better after that because they got a lot of flack.
Right.
Yeah, I can imagine they did.
That even goes into a bigger situation of like, okay, it costs. I mean, people don't understand how much money it costs to make a fucking game. A shit ton of money to make a game and make it good, no doubt.
Man hours.
Right. And so like that, sometimes so companies don't make that money back all the time. And so sometimes I'm not going for them to do this. I'm just trying to make some explanation behind it, play a little devil's advocate. But they'll put that kind of model in there sometimes to try to recoup some of that money they lost from making the game because you know,
you can do it in a clean way, I guess. Like you can do character skins. Right. You can do things like that. I mean, there's a good amount of people that are into buying different character skins, man. Like, they're people buy that shit. But, like, there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. And just plucking a 10% or 20% out of the story and trying to resell me something that I already paid for, that's the wrong way.
I agree. The gamers, to some degree, it's our fault as gamers, too, because then when they do things like that, we should be punishing them by not purchasing this stuff.
Yes.
But then when you look in the store and you see, like, 10,000 people have downloaded this already, it's like, at $40 a pop, they've already made their choice.
Oh, we're dealing with the same thing in DC Comics right now, man. There's a writer on Justice League that is horrible. Like, the Justice League book has been absolute dog shit for like almost a year now. And everyone hates it, but the problem is that's always their top-selling book because everyone's always going to buy Justice League. So it's like, it sucks because all they pay attention to is that bottom dollar, and people are going to keep buying it, but it's like, if you want to change, just stop buying it. And,
you gotta show with your wallets.
If they do something shitty to us, and then you reward them for it, they're going to be like, oh, and then not only are they going to keep doing it, but other publishers and developers are going to see it and go, oh, well, you know, so-and-so, they just did this, or, you know, Activision just did this. let's do it in our game.
Agreed.
And that's where this is coming from with Shadow of War. That's a single-player game. It doesn't need that stuff.
And then it becomes just standard where it's like, oh, well, we're just doing what everyone else is doing. It's industry standard,
it,
you know?
It happens like, all the time.
And that's the excuse that, you know, it's the same thing with every business.
Yeah, I hear
business
that.
Practices.
What I worry about with the Shadow of War is, are they going to make you grind more heavily in the game than you would if you, you know,
to steer you towards it
to get those things in game? Do you have to grind harder, or is it just going to take a while because the game is a certain length to level up? As long as you don't have to like heavily grind and do a bunch of extra fights or extra missions just to be able to get to that level and spend dozens of hours just to get there, and then, you know, I mean, I'll play the game, but I don't want to pay for those. I guess you can call them like cheats. I used to be able to, growing up, I was able to just punch in a code on my PC and I'd have a cheat. Yeah. I didn't have to pay for a cheat.
Right.
But you're basically cheating, paying for the money and, you know, and those what do you call them? Those attributes, you know, being able to raise your attributes or whatever, get better orcs. That's stupid. But they got to make money, I guess.
Sports games do it too. NBA 2K, I love playing basketball, and they start you off at a super low level when you create a character, and then they also make it available for you to buy the in-game currency, which you can then use to buy the attributes and stuff like that to raise it up faster. So it's like you come out, you're a rookie, and your character can't shoot three-pointers or dunk and stuff because you need to raise the dunk and you need to raise the three-point level.
Dude,
it makes you want to jack your stuff all the way up. Like, I'm going to pay an extra $40 and get a shit ton of money and just make my character awesome so I can be awesome off the bat.
How do you get in the NBA in the first place if you couldn't even dunk it?
My point exactly. It started pissing me off so bad, and it started happening a couple years ago, and it's like, I'm not buying it this
stupid.
Year. I'm not gonna, really, I love basketball.
It really grinds my gears is when you're like fucking playing co-op online against, you know, people that have paid that, and they're like
the
beating
guns.
The shit out of you just because they paid extra money.
The
it's
new
like
guns, new armor and shit.
That's bullshit.
That's pretty much playing Halo and Call of Duty.
That's not how you're supposed to do it. If it affects the balance of a game, they shouldn't have microtransactions for it.
Just do skins and stuff. That is
skins are fine.
Then you're like, oh, where'd you get that sweet skin from? Like, loot box.
And that's cool, man. Yeah. Like, I'm okay
better
with
weapons,
loot boxes and stuff.
Yeah. Better armor and weapons.
Yeah,
we could talk about it's that crap. Forever, but sorry, I didn't mean to trigger everybody, but
no,
it's just
no,
one of those
cool.
things that, you know, it's just fun to bring up because it affects everybody.
Absolutely.
Know, every single one of us. So, but yeah, I guess we should probably dive into a couple of the games that have come out recently and talk about those, huh?
For sure.
Absolutely.
I thought this was the topic.
Let's do it.
So, couple of games that we wanted to talk about this week were Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, Agents of Mayhem, and Sonic Mania, which I'm super excited to talk about that one when we get to it. But first off, let's get into Hellblade. I mean, this came out, what, last week?
A week ago.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Triple a game for half price.
So good. What was it, like $40?
$30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hellblade came out. Off the bat, dude, I love how they just dive right into the mental breakdown of this character.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's so cool. Like, you played it. What did you think of it, Jose?
The first, 5 minutes, it was just them talking, like, her mind just, like, everywhere. And then the narrator speaking as well with, like, all the voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just, like, all trippy. I was like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wear a headset with this one.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a headset. So I just had to crank up the volume all the way up on it. But the action, the fighting sequence, and everything is just so it's clean. I love it. I'm taking my time on this game for sure because I don't want it to end. Yeah. I want it to be longer. How was it? Like 5-6 hours?
I think around 6 hours.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, I just finished one of the first bosses, and it was really good.
Yeah, the game focuses on the main character, which is Senua. I think I'm saying her name. Senua. Excuse me.
Senua. Yeah, I keep thinking Senua too.
I want to put an S in there, another S. It's Senua, and she embarks on a very personal journey through a hellish underworld made up of Senua's psychotic manifestations of her reality and mind. So she's basically a character that's mentally broken, and she's going on this adventure / journey into her own mind. To find some peace and to be, you know.
She wants to save the soul of her beloved or something.
So
which she has in her back.
Yeah.
The head.
Yeah. It's so good. I think the best part about this game is the sound. The sound. I mean, don't get me wrong. The visuals are amazing too. And it blows my mind. It's only $30.
Yeah. Yeah. These were the guys that made the Heavenly Sword, which looked fantastic on the PlayStation 3. And this one, it's a gorgeous game.
Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
Typically known for their action adventure games, you know, but blown out of the water with this one. I mean,
the psychological stuff is just, it's crazy.
Unreal 4 engine.
Not to make a pun, but it is awesome. It really dives in there. And if you wear a headset when you're playing it, it's like you're hearing the voices in your own head.
I already do.
I mean, the first step to changing that is admitting it.
Yeah.
We're here.
You're taking the first step, buddy.
As he closes his eyes and bows his head.
Yeah.
You kill me.
And as the game goes on, I'm not spoiling anything, but you learn more and more about why, how she got to this state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'd agree.
How things have gotten to the point where they are now.
The one thing that I would say is a negative for me, at least just real quick, is that it's the way that she goes around and you're kind of doing the puzzles takes me out of it a little bit sometimes because it slows everything down, and then the combat gets a little repetitive later in the game as far as dodging, hack and slash, dodge, and it becomes, feels like more, I hate using this term, but it feels like more of a walking sim at times as you're walking around environments and looking. So make sure you're holding the left bumper so you can run.
Yes.
Because she walks slow as fuck.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, yeah, it's a great game. $30, low cost of entry. So check it out. The graphics are sweet. I mean, as soon as
they really
up,
are. That was one thing I noticed about watching it online, was just the graphics were really cool.
Even the first splash of the title screen where her face is there, my daughter walked through the room. She goes, "What's this?" And I was like, "Hellblade." And she's like, "I want to draw her face now. Tell me about this." And I had to tell her about it for a second because she wants to draw it now. So.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, people thought I was, when my brother was watching me play, and at first he saw the title screen. He's like, "Is this a movie?" I was like, "No, I just bought this."
It looks that good.
Yeah, it does.
So I was like, tripping.
Yeah, short game, awesome graphics. Pretty, like I said, it's not going to be heavily battle oriented or anything like that. There are chunks where it kind of goes back and forth between puzzle solving and walking around, and then some fights, and then puzzle solving and walking around. And while you're walking around, you get the voices and stuff. They're talking to you. Yeah. They'll even hint to you what to do in battles. Like, someone's behind you, watch out behind you.
Yeah.
And you'll dodge backwards, and there's a guy there, you know. So
behind you. Yeah, it gets a little frustrating at times towards the end when you're being attacked by so many really powerful enemies at the same time.
I turned it down to easy just so I can get through it. I had it on normal, and there's also a mode where you can put it on auto, where it'll automatically adjust to you based upon how much you're dying and stuff, and how difficult you're having. But I didn't want to play with that. I want to get through it so I can go on to the next thing. So I put it on easy, and I'm kind of pounding through.
The fun part that keeps me playing this game is if you keep dying, the game will restart.
Not necessarily.
No.
There's a caveat with that. Yeah.
That
if you get through a certain part of the game, then you can die as much as you want after that. There are some people in the PC community that have played the game and died like 50 times after the midpoint of the game, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And the black mass that starts on the hand never reaches the head.
Right.
It stops at the shoulder or something. But I still am not sure if they just had a patch yesterday.
Yeah,
I hope they didn't patch that out.
I don't think they did. I think that'd be terrible.
Because I'm at the end. I am at the end. I don't want to die now and start over.
Yeah. So for those of you out there that don't know what we're talking about, as she die, if you're playing, you die every time you die. There's like this curse that's on your hand, and it's a black mold kind of going up your arm. And so the more you die, the more it goes up your arm and to your main part of your body. And if it reaches your head, your game is officially over.
They tell you it's permadeath.
Yeah,
basically,
so you can't restart your save file from where you left off. You have to start completely over. So there's a certain point. So there's been a lot of debate and argument about that, and people being frustrated by that. But like Joel was saying, I think there's a point that you need to reach where that won't matter. So if you're worried about that, put it on fucking easy, call it a day. There's no trophy that I saw where it gives you a trophy for beating it on normal or hard or whatever. So just enjoy the fucking game for what it is.
Well, I died like three times close to the beginning in a fire puzzle. I was like, I kept burning because I wasn't running quite fast enough or I chose the wrong trail, and then it would go up my arm and I'm like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't dying when I was in combat. I was fine with the combat.
Yeah. So definitely to kind of wrap that one up, check it out. It's getting pretty good scores. GameSpot gave it an 8. IGN gave it a 9. Game Informer gave it an 8. Destructoid gave it a 7.5. So, yeah, good stuff going with that. So, $30, PlayStation 4. Check it out.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right. Cool. Next one we're going to talk about is Agents of Mayhem. That came out just this past, on Tuesday? So what was that, like the
about a week ago?
Yeah. I don't even know what the hell day today is. I'm so lost.
19th.
I think it was the 15th. Yeah, it came out on the 15th along with Sonic Mania. Agents of Mayhem is a spinoff of the
Saints Row
franchise.
After Get Out of Hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Directly from that. I mean, even the main...
Persephone?
Yeah, she's from Get Out of Hell, so they tie it together well, and they weave in and out of both of those narratives, so...
Yeah.
You guys all get a chance to touch this one, too? Or watch some video a little bit?
Yeah, I watched them. Mm-hmm. A lot like Overwatch, it seems.
Yeah,
Well, they have hero things, and they have ultimates like Overwatch, but otherwise not...
I think it's a merriment of Overwatch feel, Overwatch just type feeling, characters,
yeah, and the look,
and like the Get Out of Hell stuff. So they mesh it well. Mm-hmm. For me, it felt like a Saturday morning cartoon the way it was coming on. I was like, oh, this is like a superhero mashup thing.
Uranus was discovered in 18 whatever the
there was a lot of that ridiculous
Uranus
stuff like
is
that.
Magnificent.
The sometimes over the top Saints Row humor is definitely there.
Yeah. Uranus is full of gases.
Yeah.
I didn't like Saints Row either, man. I couldn't get into Saints Row. Yeah.
It had its moments for me, but I always gravitated towards GTA more than Saints Row.
It was just so ridiculous for me. It was just crazy.
The fourth one gave you superpowers, which was
Which is where they kind of tied with this one.
Yeah, so it was kind of fun. I mean, because you could pick up like these things, and then you could jump super high. And
which one had that dubstep gun? The Saints Row
dubs.
Yeah,
that was Saints 4.
Is that 4?
Yeah,
they had a dubstep gun.
They all run together for me anymore.
Yeah, in that one, that's where it kind of went over, you know, over the top to the point where you could have a dubstep gun, and you could have like something that would call in aliens that would like abduct people, and you could also do like what was it, an enema gun or. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They shot some... Oh, probe. Alien probe would be shot up somebody's butt. And
sounds about right.
But the game, it's a cool game. It's open world, third person perspective. You get three people on your squad at a time. There's up to 12 agents that you can choose from, all varying and with different weapons, backgrounds, abilities, etc. You can unlock their skill, different skills in there within their skill trees. And it's a fun draw to try to match up the three that you like the best that give you the very, and you can switch between them. Excuse me, you can switch between them on the fly.
Yeah,
by just tapping the arrow key to left or right.
And it's important to pick the right ones on the higher difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
Lower difficulties not as important.
Yeah. I think the open world though of it's not as compelling as it should be. The open world kind of sucks to me. Like it should make you want to keep going, but it doesn't.
It gets after a while. It gets repetitive. The dungeons or layers start looking like one another. I don't know. I think they had a lot of good ideas. But it just isn't panning out over the length of time it takes to beat the game. I think it's about 20 hours to play the main campaign.
Oh,
even more than that, twice as much if you want to do all the side quests and everything.
And level everybody up. I mean, there's an achievement for leveling up, like, I think all of them. And the max level you can get is 20.
Okay.
There's 12 of them. So
you can go past 20 with the special core upgrades, I think. But that's it.
I think it's a fun time. If you like that kind of game, if you enjoyed Saints Row 4, which was more of the superhero-oriented one, this is more of that with more fleshed out, with more characters, I should say. Fun. I enjoyed it. I played a little bit more, but I mean, I have some bigger fish to fry on the horizon.
I hear that.
With Destiny 2 and some other stuff coming out here in the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to play a little bit more just for the hell of it and probably send it back to Gamefly or, you know, whatever.
I'll send mine back after, probably in the next week. I'm having fun with it, but yeah, just like you said, more things coming out.
Not to mention, somebody does this better, and you know who that is. Crackdown.
Yes.
Does this type of thing with agents and stuff and jumping around the city. And you're going to be able to actually destroy buildings and things like that.
Only in the multiplayer, though.
Right. So I think hopefully Crackdown
does this and just blows it out of the water.
It's been pushed out to spring of next year now, though.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Hey, as long as it's done right.
There you go.
I'm okay with that, too.
Right.
Push it out if you need to. We don't want another No Man's Sky.
Do not.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know, right.
The one that Ben's going to start playing here soon.
No, it's good. Yeah. It's good now, apparently, but... Yeah.
I'm going to try it out tonight, so I'll report back to you guys on that one next week for No Man's Sky. But the last one that I wanted to touch on is Sonic Mania. Please tell me you guys have tried this or any. No?
No. I watched some video.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
It's very retro looking from what I could see.
The team that worked on this did such a great job with it of meshing the old school with like new stuff. So you get a lot of the old feel of the first two or three Sonic games, but then there's so much new twist they put on the levels. So you know how before it was like, you know, zone one, zone two, and then you fight a boss battle. Well, zone one, typically it'll feel like the retro, like this is the Green Hill Zone from Sonic 1 that you remember it, but with a few little twists to it. But then zone two, they'll usually take more liberties of throwing like a remix in there and changing the music up and everything. And I don't know. It scratched an itch for me.
Oh, you
know,
I'm sure.
When this game came out, when the first Sonic came out, I was 11. So I was playing it, and I'm sitting there like, it was 91 for you. You had a look on your face like, how long ago was that? Fuck you, Jose. Piece of shit.
Fuck you, too.
But it was 91. I was 11. So, I was sitting on the couch playing this, and I was like, this is so fucking fun. And then it was just enough new for the older me to be like, this is awesome that they took all this stuff and they took it with care and did a great job. This is a Sonic that a lot of us, if you're a Sonic fan out there, that you've been wanting. So, yeah, check it out. There's also some co-op play to it, some competitive play. You can jump in there with Tails and fly around behind Sonic and help him out.
$70 for Nintendo Switch, huh?
Wow. What? Why is it 70?
This is a collector's edition.
Though. Okay. I was going to say, the game's only $20 for just the core game.
Oh, yeah. This comes with like a, it looks like...
I think you get a Sonic statue or something.
With Sega Startup Audio.
Yeah.
Metallic Sega. Collector's card, Sega cartridge cast with golden ring.
Sonic better spin. That statue better be spinning.
Yeah.
And doesn't. Talk to you.
Shit is.
So what else was on it? You're saying,
The statue, a metallic collector's card, and Sega cartridge cast. So it's like it looks like an old Sega cartridge, with a golden ring and a collector's box.
That's cool.
So, I wouldn't pay. I'm not as big of a Sonic fan.
No, for $20 though, if you like Sonic, it's good. If you're questioning it, wondering, because I know Sonic is one of those. Franchises that's usually, in my opinion, just on fire because they keep making shit games for it, and then they bank on the name getting them across the finish line.
Mm-hmm. They were great at first, and then they had several shit games. And it's like,
this one's actually good.
And this is brand.
What I'm seeing,
brand new too, or is it like a kind of like the same old levels and stuff?
It's to some degree it's the same levels, but then they put some remixed, you know, twists on them, and then there's also new levels. So I'd say there's a good merriment of like 60-40, like 60% like stuff that you recognize, but then they just toss in these little like, oh, on this level this was Green Hill Zone, but we put like these what's the zip lines and stuff like that in there, like, oh, that wasn't in the previous game. And just they just take really awesome liberties with putting new stuff in there and make it breathe a new life into it.
It does look fun. I mean,
it's a lot of fun
from what I
played it for hours,
seen and read.
Yeah, I think I'm like four levels, four areas in, or five areas in. So probably about maybe halfway through the game. I'm loving it. I'm gonna keep going.
This kind of takes care of that little itch that you have for the retro.
Yeah.
Bug that bites you sometimes.
They also have the bonus levels are from like Sonic 3 and Sonic CD. So they've taken different Sonic games over the years and kind of just, like I said, mashed them up into this one game.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It looks pretty cool. I'm watching gameplay for it right now. And I don't know. I might get it.
It runs at a smooth 60 frames per second, which the old Sonic on the Genesis did not
run
that smooth. So obviously it couldn't handle that. But yeah, great recreation. Co-op, competitive, for if you want to do time trials together, see if we can get to the level faster.
Considering the power of the new consoles, it better run at that, because it's pretty pixelated. I mean, it's not like huge 3D new, you know, with all the latest lighting effects and occlusion and Yeah, I mean, but
plus
it's
Sonic is fast as hell. I mean, if you can't keep up with him, something's wrong. I mean, that's the whole point,
right? Yeah, very true.
Don't you agree, Jose?
The Flash is faster.
There's actually a conversation about this, and the Ooh. Sonic is faster.
What? Flash?
Sonic is faster.
I would not have guessed.
On the Dude Soup podcast, one of the last three episodes, the whole topic of the show is Sonic faster than the Flash? And they get like deep into it, like how fast Sonic can travel and stuff. And Sonic actually technically is faster than the Flash. It kills me to say this because I love DC, but I hate Barry Allen. So
I mean, if we had to take a show of hands, who hates Barry Allen at this table? I'm pretty sure we're all raising our hands. I mean,
he's a fucking screw up.
Barry Allen, I want to chop him in the throat and just point at him and say, "You know what you did."
Well, see, it was funny. Then you took it too far, Armando.
I'm just saying, man. I want to chop him in the throat so bad.
You didn't even realize what he did.
He makes me mad, though.
You didn't even realize what he did on the season, though.
What he did in the comics is worse, though, yeah. man. Like, I mean, it's like. He totally resets the entire universe. Like,
yeah, he ruined everything.
Yeah, he just because he, I don't know. Yeah.
You can't let my mom die.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, that was like, give me it. I didn't want to watch the second season.
Like, I get it, but like, let it go, baby.
It's been like 20 years.
Yeah, it's been 20 years. It's my thing, and like, it's I don't know.
Well, if he put half that effort into like getting a girlfriend, he wouldn't have this problem pining over the chicks that he pines over.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Let go of your mom and fucking like. Get your shit together.
He's the fastest man alive, dude.
Instead of having daddy issues, he has mommy issues.
What all do you have to complain about, man? You're literally the fastest person in the universe.
Yeah, like, stop being a little.
If you're just tuning
whiner.
In, this is the Barry Allen Bash podcast.
Yeah,
he's a little bitch.
Yeah. but Sonic is not.
No,
buy this game. It's good if you like Sonic. To bring it kind of back to the core, check it out. It's fun. It's awesome. If you love that stuff, the retro is good. It's good. That's all I can say.
Cool.
Two thumbs up enthusiastically.
Two thumbs.
Sweet.
I'm gonna get it.
11-year-old me was very happy.
Oh, cool.
The unborn child of.
Can I add something real quick?
What? Said, fuck you.
Okay.
Just take a sec.
Yeah. What's up? What?
Huh?
I don't know what's happening.
What's up, dude?
That there, a game just came out called Paranormal Activity VR.
Oh, you brought that up last week, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play it, but my daughter did, and she was screaming her head off.
Mm. Oh, really?
Way scarier than like Resident Evil.
And it's for PSVR?
Yeah.
Mm. Down Sweet. With that tonight.
Get cool.
And yeah, get right. it before they raise it to 40. So
how much is it? You said 20?
It's 30? It's 29.
29. 30 bucks, okay.
But they'll raise it to 40 in like a week or something, so.
Hmm.
Okay.
That's what it goes for on the Oculus and the Vive, so.
Okay.
Boom. All right. I'll check it out. Well, yeah, and that's our time.
That's it,
we
yeah.
went almost an hour and a half, so
Shit.
You guys got some extra,
sorry.
You guys got some extra juice out of us. I mean,
yeah.
we've said worse things. I said pussy earlier, Joel. So yeah,
that's
good.
True.
You did?
I said my wife likes scary movies, but she's a big pussy.
Oh, yeah.
You're a poon loaf.
Poon loaf. That's some South Park stuff right there.
And we're out.
Yeah. Jose's a poon loaf.
Fuck you.
Welcome back, Jose.
Yeah. Good to be back.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in to the episode. If you want to reach out to us, hit us up at glitchtherapy@gmail.com and toss some questions our way or any comments or, you know, whatever, suggestions about the show. Please do that. Otherwise, support the show by hitting over to patreon.com/glitchtherapy. We're always happy to take donations or anything of that nature. $1 a month will also get you access to a final round, our bonus show. So check that out. Please subscribe, rate, and review. It means so much for just such a small thing, such a small act. It helps us go up in the charts so that more listeners like yourself can find us and enjoy the show as well. So please help us out and do that if you haven't done so.
Please.
One of the last things here, last but not least, please check out Nerd Church Radio. Ben is on that show talking about DC comics and characters. So it's awesome, fun. Check it out. It's also on our network, and check out Nerd Church Radio with Dexter. Indie Comic Ninja with Dexter, doing interviews with indie comic writers and artists, and it's a lot of fun on that show as well. We used to do Indie Tuesdays on there. We have a lot of shows that you can check the backlog out and check that out too. So if you haven't done that, check out those other two shows also. Otherwise, where can we find everybody on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Indie Comic Ben.
Booyah.
Where are you, Angel?
All right. Well, I'm on the Xbox and the PlayStation under Scorpio 1969. I'm on Twitter under Joel Gow 1 and on Facebook, Joel Gow. That's Ooh, it. Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. We're back to this. Yeah, if you've been listening, Jose never gets this part right.
you could stalk me at Twitter.
What is it called?
Twitter.
Twits.
Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, that's probably you.
I'm Hipster Maid and Xbox PS4. It's your senpai.
Mm-hmm. You're not my senpai.
So yeah. No,
did you say twatter?
Twatter.
Oh my god,
that's where Jose is on all day. If you want to find me, at Nerdy Romando on Instagram and Twitter. Otherwise, you want to game out with me or just friend me on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network. My name is Dirty Dimes. And that's it, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And game on.
Game on.
Game on.
Krypton.
All right.